I'm Joe Biden, the senator from Delaware, and I'm unsure if I approve this message.
Whether or not we should be in a position where you are, why can't the experts say we know that this virus is in fact it's going to be, or excuse me, we know why all the drugs approved are not temporarily approved but permanently. I'm running as a proud Democrat for the Senate. Go, you know the thing. Why the hell would I take a test? Oh, man.
We choose truth over facts.
If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black. We gotta, it's just, but you gotta, I mean, we gotta reassure, look, my message to everybody I talk to is
probably best I don't.
I mean, this idea of, you know, slow Joe. I shouldn't laugh about it because, anyway.
Now, in Times Square, it's That Kevin Show.
Somewhere in the bowels of the city that never sleeps.
Kevin McCullough, radio host with Salem Media.
Is a man also not sleeping.
Syndicated radio talk show host Kevin McCullough.
And that guy would like a word with you.
Many of you know him from his Vox Trudamus.
Of course That Kevin Show is going to be great. The only thing that could be greater, of course, would be That Donald Show. But we don't have that, so we have That Kevin Show.
Featuring the music of Dick Tunney and the Dream in Color Orchestra. And tonight, he puts America first, Mark Lauder. She wants to be the next senator from New Jersey, Christine Serrano Glasner. A mugging of New York City-sized proportions tonight. Kelsey Bowler from the Independent Women's Forum. Plus, Zach Williams and Dolly Parton in the spotlight. And now, from Times Square, where the St. Paddy's revelers are about to swarm the pubs like pizza rats on a fresh pie, here's the Kevin!
Welcome to the weekend. Yeah, I don't understand. Well, we've got a bit of controversy, actually, in Times Square this year regarding the upcoming Saints holidays, because tomorrow will be St. Patty's Day, and 2 days after that, it will be St. Joseph's Day. And for some reason, well, I'll get into this later, but I've got a buddy that's he's going a little hard on the St. Patrick. St. Patrick was a good guy. Now, I don't know if St. Patrick would be doing Bloody Mary pickle shots. Did you see this? Would you do this? You put the Bloody Mary inside of a honed out dill pickle, and then you shoot the shot and then you eat the pickle. I would try it. It's kind of tasty. It sounds tasty to me, anyway. Glad you're with us. And look at what they found. It's returned. My favorite white coffee mug with the black logo. Of course, we still have the glossy black mug with the white logo. So either one of them can be your friend. And we're going to give one of these away tonight. If you have not registered yet, you still have a chance. That Kevin Show at gmail.com. Send me the email. Just put in the subject line, mug, and then put in the body if you want the white one or the black one, and then be listening when we draw the name. Coming up in segment three tonight, we're going to draw the name. But will you get the white mug with the black logo or the black mug with the white logo? It's your choice as we continue our great mugging of New York City proportion. Anyway, welcome. Glad you're here. I was curious about something this week. There's lots of things that the president and the vice president probably should be addressing. For instance, we still have a very problematic southern border, and we have terrorists coming across that border. In fact, you've now got gang members in Chicago that are going on local television complaining about the fact that the people coming over the border have so many gang members among them that the gang members in Chicago are getting rubbed out by the gang members coming here from other places because the new gang members are taking over and the gang members in Chicago don't like it. And Chicago already has like a gang problem because that's where they have all the shootings each week. So, you know, it's bad. You know, it's bad if your domestic gangs are fed up with having the foreign gangs come in. And I'm assuming these are all likely Biden voters anyway. But so you've got that, you've got the economy that's a mess, you've got inflation that does not take its boot off of the neck of the average consumer. Why is Kamala Harris going to Minneapolis to go to an abortion mill? And she stands there doing the press conference like she's some sort of, like just on a normal mission. Like, I'm here to talk about plastic spoons. Yes, we're going to have plastic spoons in the lunchrooms across the cafeterias of America. And I hope that the plastic spoons will work well. She says the stuff with like, and you realize that people die in this place. Now consider the kind of required media respect that she's granted because she's the vice president. And the case of Livia Tosishi Bolt. Now, Livia is a retired woman who, instead of doing anything rambunctious, and trust me, there's people, activists on all political sides that can get rambunctious sometimes. But instead of getting rambunctious, look at what she's doing. She's holding a sign. It's a sweet sign. It's a sign that says, she wants to talk if you want to talk. She's just going to be there. She's not showing a picture of anything. She doesn't have some loud, outrageous headline printed across her poster board. She says, if you would like to talk, I'm here. But she's arrested. Livia Tosishi Bolt gets arrested for holding a sign that says she's just there if you'd like to talk. Meanwhile, the literal vice president and scarily enough, second most powerful person on planet Earth goes to an actual abortion mill, holds a press conference, talks about the killing of babies like it's just the kind of the normal thing. Press just like writes it up. Well, she said that and we got that and got the story. Guess we're all good. Meanwhile, little retired Livia. Outside an abortion mill, not holding a picture, not saying you're going to burn in hell if you kill your baby, not doing any of that. She's just standing there with a sign. I'm here to talk. If you'd like to talk, I'd like to talk. Friends, what's wrong with our universe? It's not just the contrast of the lady's actions. It's the reaction to it by the entire world. No one's offended that the little old lady who said, I'm here if you want to talk to somebody, got arrested. Meanwhile, Cackleface just goes wherever she wants, says stuff that's crazier than the looniest loons in the loony bins, talks about the killing of babies like it's, distributing flatware to the cafeteria. And at the end of the day, people are made to think that the little old lady who just wants to talk to you, and only if you want to talk, is the one to be afraid of. We have lost our God-given minds. Kevin McCullough, coming back.
A few classified documents between friends.
I told you all the time. I knew he had some too.
Here he is, that Kevin McCullough.
And welcome back to Times Square. Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. That Kevin Show, always glad to talk about America first here on That Kevin Show. In fact, we've gone to great lengths to continue the discussion about America first. And my next guest is no stranger. In fact, in some ways, he is the mouthpiece for the America First movement. Mark Lauder was part of the Trump campaign in 2020. He is out there making the case now for why America First principles must be adhered to in order for our country to be made great once again. Please welcome Mark Lauder back to That Kevin Show. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Kevin, thank goodness I'm just the mouthpiece, not the brains behind it, right?
Well, in some respects, you know, people talk about Donald Trump and make America great again. In a lot of respects, at least from my observation of history, he was a continuation of the angst that started during the Obama era with the Tea Party. And it's just Americans that believe in founding principles, that believe in putting the focus of American government and public interest on the welfare of what America needs. And the current administration, and you saw it again in the State of the Union last week, has seemed to run and made everybody else that's even possible first, and then America comes somewhere after that. Am I misreading the signs?
No, you're not. In fact, I mean, look at the State of the Union. The first thing out of his mouth was about Ukraine and how we should spend billions of dollars securing and defending Ukraine's border, but nothing about securing our own border or dealing with the sky-high prices that we've had to do. And, you know, Kevin, I actually think that the whole America First movement actually goes back way farther than that. I think you had so many Americans who had been lied to by politicians of both parties and candidates of both parties. I mean, going all the way back to Read My Lips, to the fact that for 30 some years, we had a law on the books that said you're going to move the embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And yet presidents of both parties who said they were going to do it kept signing the waiver to not actually get it done, or to get tough with China, or to defend American manufacturing jobs. All of these things, I think the American people got sick and tired of your so-called standard politicians saying one thing on the campaign trail and doing the exact opposite when they got into office. So they turned to an outsider, they turned to a businessman whose most famous phrase is, "You're fired."
Yeah, and it's really remarkable. I was with some Wall Street types last week as an oil and gas company that I'm investing in came to NASDAQ and rang the bell, and we got to be there with them when they did that. And it was really striking because we got into a conversation about how America's wealthiest president, probably, I mean, Donald Trump had significant wealth long before he was ever a politician. It's usually the other way around. Usually people get rich while they're in politics, but he made his wealth and began to lose it while he was serving publicly. But it's this billionaire, it's this uber successful billionaire that seems to connect with the America First everyday plumber, mailman, doctor, lawyer, Main Street USA, like the everyday American seems to identify more with this guy who we're told by his opponents is elite and racist and all these other things that nobody can expect him to relate to. And yet when you see him with people, everyday folks, the everyday man and woman, they love this man.
No, absolutely. And I think it's part of his DNA. I mean, I remember on the 2016 campaign and in the transition, the early years in the White House, I remember the president telling a story about how the person he always wanted to talk to at all of his buildings was the loading dock guy, because that's the person who knows everything that's going on in the building, everything that's coming in and out, every repairman that has to come fix a problem that someone else should have fixed beforehand. He knows exactly who's in and out. And then he would talk to the plumbers and electricians, like, don't tell me what, you know, what the rich people who buy these condos and these apartments want. Tell me what you would do differently. And then he would adjust his plans based on the people who are actually doing the job. And if he didn't like how they were doing it, he would grab a paintbrush and do it himself.
Well, it's interesting because my friends who were here were from out of town. They were staying at the Trump Tower. And I've heard this from multiple people, but if you talk to the room service, if you talk to the people that serve you at the front desk and take your bags up and do all the rest of it, they will, to a person, just be effusive about what a good boss Donald Trump has been. And I think that the American people saw that when they were given a chance to really understand that he wasn't just a TV star or someone that, you know, had built a big conglomerate of companies. But let's talk about the road ahead, because as much as it is interesting to now know that Haley's gone, Joe Biden is still mad, angry, and crazy, there is a campaign to run between now and November 5th. If you were, and you're not part of the campaign officially this year, not that I know of, at least as of yet, but if you were, what would the focus be inside that thing, that think tank right now? What are they preparing to do? What's the media campaign going to look like? What's the message that we're going to be hearing on the airwaves?
Well, I think the biggest difference between 2020 and 2024 is that Joe Biden has a record. He was a hypothetical president back in 2020. You really couldn't attack him for things that Obama did. You couldn't go back 12 years before that and attack him for things that he had done over his 50-year career in the Senate. So he could hide in his basement. He could say, I'll end the pandemic and I won't mean tweet. And people could envision that, oh, okay, fine. Well, he has a record now, and the American people don't like it. Two-thirds of the American people think we're on the wrong track. 60%+ disagree with his policies on inflation, the economy, immigration, crime, education. You go down the list, and there's hardly anything that Joe Biden's approval is actually positive. It's mostly overwhelmingly negative. So I think you just have to draw the contrast and ask people, ask yourself, are you safer now than you were 4 years ago or 5 years ago? Are things cheaper now than they were when Donald Trump was in office? Was the border more secure when Donald Trump was in office? And when you answer that question, it pretty much just points you right in the direction of where you should cast your ballot come November.
Mark, I wrote in my town hall piece this week that the president did owe the American people an apology. But it was to the Lake and Riley family at the State of the Union and not the illegals that he apologized for calling illegal. MSNBC and CNN are out the last couple of days with polls saying that now they see Joe Biden underwater in every poll that they're looking at. I know it would take a move of heaven and earth to get them to ever admit that, but he has blundered big time in almost every public step he's taken in the last few weeks. Is it your opinion that they're going to try to replace him at the convention?
I really don't think they can. And let me tell you why. So a lot of the polls that we've seen in the last couple of weeks or so indicate Donald Trump getting 20-25% of the black vote, which is obviously one of the most important voting blocks for Democrats. He got 8% in 2020. Now, I do believe that number will fall. I hope it doesn't. I hope it grows. But it will likely fall as the campaign starts to pick up speed. But if they were to replace Joe Biden with anyone other than Kamala Harris, who's even worse and more unpopular than Joe Biden, you will take an already fracturing voting block and depress them even more.
Mark Lauder, always appreciate your input and your insight. Thank you for being back with us.
Always good to be with you.
Next, That Kevin Show with Kevin McCullough.
Glad you're with us at That Kevin Show. Thank you for joining us. And as I've promised, tonight we are going to give away a brand new, beautifully detailed That Kevin Show coffee mug. The white one with the black logo and the black inside and handle, or the glossy black with the white logo. I think they both look super sharp, and I love both of them. Did you know also know, though, that we have the That Kevin Show vinyl sticker? Maybe you've got one of these. My bride got me this for Christmas, the big Stanley. I think you can put an entire 750 milliliters into this. Now, I don't know what 750 milliliters is, except a wine bottle or a bottle of adult beverage of some sort, because they usually come in 750 milliliters. But I've been told by my lovely bride that you can put 750 milliliters of something in this. But if you want to deck it out with the beautiful That Kevin Show sticker, we've got those at That Kevin store as well. But check it out now. It is time to name this week's drawing winner of, and she's requested the lovely black mug, the black That Kevin Show mug, and it is none other than Susan Bergen, who just registered to win last week. So if you would like a chance at winning either the white mug with the black logo or the black mug with the white logo, feel free to send us those registrations. Just send your email to thatkevinshow@gmail.com, thatkevinshow@gmail.com, and put in the subject line mug, or I want to be mugged, or come mug me, or, you know, something along those lines. And then in the body of the email, put which mug you think you might like. Is it the white one, the beautiful white one with the black interior and the black handle and the black logo? Or is it the very snazzy glossy black all the way around with the That Kevin Show white logo on it? Either one, very attractive, and I highly recommend. And they do amazing things like keeping your beverages nice and toasty, which is what I want my coffee mug to do when it has, in fact, my coffee in it. I would like it to be warm. It's a good thing if it does its job. Speaking of doing their job, my day job, I work for the Salem radio stations here in New York City. And our morning man on AM 970, The Answer, is none other than the Saturday Night Live great Joe Piscopo. Joe Piscopo is a good guy, and I've had a great time working with him and alongside of him. But he wanted to pick a fight this weekend because, you know, St. Joseph's and St. Patrick's, they come very close together, and you got the whole, you know, the pastries and all the rest of it. And I've been good. If you wanted to be a St. Patty's fan, then be a St. Patty's fan. As a McCullough, I'm a little more inclined towards the Irish saint. But St. Joseph's is also in this season. And Mr. Piscopo had to take to his Instagram yesterday. Was it yesterday? Yeah, yesterday. Middle of the day on Friday to put this obnoxious thing up. This is what he said. This is supposedly being quoted from Father Guido Sarducci. Father Guido said, St. Patrick was a good saint, but he wasn't a great saint. St. Joseph is a great saint because he is the patron saint of Italy. Well, I don't know that Ireland has a patron saint, but what do you got to go pick on Patrick for? I mean, it's okay if St. Joseph and St. Patrick were both good guys, isn't it? Why does it have to be one or the other? And Mr. Piscopo, why you gotta go hating on your Irish brethren? I'm with you. I love Italy. I went to Italy this last year. I took the bride to Italy. Joe, what are you killing me for? You gotta diss St. Patrick to make St. Joseph look better, or are you going to leave that up to Father Guido? Is that really his name, by the way, Father Guido? So anyway, Father Guido Sarducci, St. Patrick, not a great saint, St. Joseph a great saint because he's the patron saint of Italy. But St. Patrick, in Father Guido's words, only so-so. I don't like that. So anyway, send the email, thatkevinshow@gmail.com, to register for your chance to win the mug. And then just a reminder, all of the merch is available at thatkevinstore.com, which is easy enough to find just by going to thatkevinstore.com. You got the mugs, got the stickers, got the sweatshirts, really cool stuff. And I think you're going to enjoy that. We've got three different style of baseball caps, by the way, which as soon as I have one in hand, you'll be seeing me wearing it everywhere. But you can check that out, thatkevinstore.com. And then if you want anything related to the show, and by the show, I mean, of course, That Kevin Show, the weekend edition, but I've also got the daily Kevin McCullough Radio, the nightly Radio Night Live, and the new thing that we've experimented with called Here's What I Was Thinking. That's going to all be available as well on my social media, which is That Kevin Show across the
world. Stick around for more of That Kevin. Next, That Kevin Show with Kevin McCullough.
It is election season. Decision 24 is underway. And one of the races that is very, very important is the Senate seat that Bob Menendez will be vacating at the end of the term, and what's happening in New Jersey in terms of his replacement. Democrats have a primary. Republicans have a primary. And the front runner for the Republican primary is Christine Serrano-Glassner, who rejoins us here at Kevin McCullough. Christine, it's always a pleasure to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me on, Kevin. Always a pleasure to see you. It's really been a great race so far. Well, we have been working every day. You know that. And we're going to keep at it.
That's what I want to ask you about right now, because New Jersey's primary comes so doggone late in the cycle. And the presidential race will be largely determined before then, which means that your race then kind of gets elevated to the top of the primary ticket in terms of why people need to show up for it. But they may think, oh, I don't know, they're all the same, good, whatever. So why do people need to get out in New Jersey and support you on primary day?
Well, people need to support me because I am the Trump candidate. It's that simple. And on that ticket, Trump needs to have the strongest possible candidate in that Senate spot. Hands down, that's it. You know that I endorsed the president. I was the first New Jersey elected official this year to come out and endorse President Trump. I like to call it 2.0, right?
But the great reset.
You know, we did that. Yes. And certainly none of the other Senate candidates have done that. I said, we've got to, and that was before Iowa caucus. And I said, yeah, we've got to do this because we've got to show the president, President Trump, that this is, sorry about that. We've got to show President Trump that New Jersey is behind him. And people have to, you know, people say to me, Kevin, I don't like some of the things he says. And I'm like, you know what? I don't like some of the things my kids say to me sometimes, but I still love them. I support them. That's how it goes. So people need to get over that.
Would you rather have somebody who says stuff you sometimes don't like, or a president who does things all the time that you don't like? And that's the comparison for this next go around. If you're a tepid Trump supporter and you get like, okay, the tweets kind of got to me a little bit. Okay, fine. But did you like the policies? Yes. And mm-hmm. were they better for America? Yes. Are Joe Biden's, is he a nice guy? Well, it turns out he's kind of not, but that's neither here nor there. It's policies are bad. The policies are what you're voting for in this situation, not personality.
Well, the Biden administration has shown us that they value power over life itself. I mean, look what they did. Look at these young women that have been raped and murdered by these criminals that they're just escorting into our country. And, you know, with the last one, poor Lake and Riley. And that touches me right here because she's a college junior and I have two college girls. Oh. I feel for that family. It's just horrible. Biden, they didn't say anything for almost a week. And, you know, when he finally did, it was probably between ice cream bites. They don't care about life at all. If they did, they would close that border down. He would do something. He would do more. But every year you've got 100,000 Americans dying from that Chinese poison known as fentanyl. That's all Biden. He gets to own that.
Well, especially when, as I wrote in Town Hall over the weekend, he was hand-delivered a secure border in which migrants were being processed on the Mexican side of the border. Mexico was helping to enforce border security because Trump had very skillfully used tariffs to keep migrants there and to have the Mexican authorities helping. This is all, and you know, it's interesting because Biden touted his national foreign affairs policy bona fides when he ran for the office, but he went hat in hand to Saudi Arabia, who wouldn't sell him oil, and he went hat in hand to Venezuela, our enemy, who pretended to agree that they would take deportees back. They announced this last week. They're not going to accept any more flights of deportees, mostly because what they've given us are their criminals. They've emptied their prisons and gotten rid of their criminals, and those are the people that they've sent to us. Christine, in New York City, as we speak right now, you have a Venezuelan crime gang that was all behind bars in Venezuela. They have now reformulated and now are operating, stealing mopeds and other things in the city left and right. We've imported a massive crime problem through Biden's migration policies.
That's right. And something is going to have to happen. They are going to have to be deported. Venezuela won't take them. I don't know where they're going to go. Could be a ship on the ocean forever. Just sailing around.
Now let's
they,
move
they
to your race.
They can't stay here.
Let's move to your race because Curtis Bashaw is a big a developer, entrepreneur. Cape May, Congress Hotel, people may know some of his accomplishments. But he chose to announce his candidacy on PBS. And I don't know a lot of Republicans that watch PBS. We've invited him on the show. I haven't heard from him as of yet. Your husband worked for Donald Trump. You are endorsing Donald Trump early and loud. Is the Trump candidate going to be the candidate for the state of New Jersey?
Well, what I know is that the anti-Trump candidate should not be the U.S. Senate candidate with Trump at the top of the ticket. And you can't pretend what you've done in the past. You can't pretend the fact that you donated to Gary Johnson. You can't pretend that your social media frequently had, you know, anti-Trump messaging on it. I mean, that's a reality. It should not be somebody like that. It should be somebody that has been in support of the president and his policies. And
so you're saying that Curtis Bashaw has been anti-Trump consistently publicly and has now shifted his messaging to say that he was not.
Correct. That's exactly correct. And it's a simple fact. I like to look at the facts. I'm not interested in bashing any other Republicans.
Right.
I have no problem in going after Bob Menendez. That brings great joy to me. But I will point out the facts, and that's a fact. And so people need to decide, are you with the president, and are you going to vote for a candidate that is also with the president now and has been with the president, has supported the president for a long time? You know, one of my greatest pleasures was that when I first ran for council, I got to be on the ballot with the president, and it was, you know, I saved it. It was a really special thing. And I would love to be on the ballot with him again. That's not why I'm doing this. This race is important. This is the first time in a lot of years that we feel like we really have an opportunity that we could win this seat and New Jersey could make a contribution to the nation. We have
that's what people need to remember is that U.S. Senate seats really dictate policy for the whole country. It's a much different type of representation than a congressional seat where you're confined to your district. You legitimately represent your entire state. Christine Serrano-Glasner, where do they go to help your campaign?
Please come see us at Christine4NJ.com. That's Christine with a C-H, Christine4NJ.com.
Great. We'll talk to you again soon.
Ready or not, we'll be right back. That, Kevin. Serving it up with a no-drink minimum. It's That Kevin Show.
Well, 2 years ago, they combined efforts for their first duet, and that was so successful that they have continued to work on new projects together. In the spotlight, back tonight, Zach Williams and the inimitable Dolly Parton.
life could have meaning through things I achieved. You knew I was looking for you. Every time I thought romance might feel a hole, that incomplete feeling still lived in my soul. Oh, you knew I was looking for you. Down 100 highways, empty pursuit, in 1,000 foolish things I went through. Didn't know it back then, but now I do. I was looking for you. I was looking for you.
When I couldn't find in the things I could buy,
the party was over and the bottle was dry. Oh, you knew I was looking for.
Yes, I was searching.
Oh, I was searching.
I was searching.
Down the highway and highways of empty pursuit. Down 100 highways, empty pursuit, in 1,000 foolish things.
Search hashtag New Music Spotlight on Spotify or Apple Music.